Voice of Nigeria, 7255. I used to hear occasionally between 06 and 07 UT, often with bad modulation.
You are listening to WGXC ICRA, hands-on creative community radio at 90.7 FM and streaming live online at WGXC.org. WGXC is a program division of Wave Farm.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
Wave Farm's Art Park is now open on Saturdays. Drop in for unannounced guided tours on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m. or book a tour in advance on other days. Wave Farm's 29-acre campus in Acre is the home of the Art Park with 13 installations in the Study Center, WGXC Acre Studio, and the Wave Farm's International Artist Residency Program. Visitors on Saturdays receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free and tours typically last 60 to 90 minutes. Again, on Saturdays, Wave Farm's Art Park is open for drop-in visits anytime from noon to 6 p.m. from June through October. Stop by Wave Farm on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC helps you sleep at night and stay awake in the daytime. Whether at work or play, in good times and in bad, no matter the weather, community radio brings you local news, agricultural information, music and sounds, oratory, and radio stews.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. The Times Union reports that while many are enjoying New York State parks this month, others can't because the state has many inaccessible entrances and restrooms, obstacles on trails and paths, and limited parking for people with disabilities, according to an audit by the State Comptroller's Office. The report found that 62% of amenities in state parks need to be improved to enhance accessibility. Comptroller Thomas P. DiNapoli said in a statement, and I quote, New York State strives to promote inclusivity and broad access to all resources it has to offer, and this includes our state parks and historic sites. The Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation recognizes the importance of improving accessibility to the New York park system, but must do a better job incorporating this goal into the process for maintaining and operating its sites, and improve its communications with and responsiveness to the public, end quote. The audit also did not find required grievance procedures for when attendees find the park do not provide accessibility. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that state officials are spending $100 million on renovations at the Albany International Airport, and they are expected to be completed by early 2025. That includes expansion of the main terminal and room to make security lines move faster. Governor Kathy Hochul at the airport on August 10th said, and I quote, it will be transformational, end quote. Albany Airport CEO Philip Calderon said, and I quote, it's going to give us a modern airport with modern technologies, end quote. The airport is also getting solar energy panels, additional space for concessions, new air conditioning, heating and ventilation systems, conference areas, and a children's play zone. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Heather Bellow reports in the Berkshire Eagle that the Great Barrington Select Board will vote on taxing all home and commercial real estate sales over $1 million more than other homes. The proposal will add 1%, and I quote, real estate transfer fee, end quote, for sales over $1 million in Great Barrington. But Select Board member Vice Chair Lee Davis said it would be years away. First, the board needs to hold public hearings on the issue. Then the board would vote to bring the issue to town voters next May. Davis said Great Barrington needs the money to help with the affordable housing crisis locally. Davis said, and I quote, the displacement of longtime locals and our workforce continues. If this isn't a call to action, I don't know what is, end quote. A Washington Post analysis showed that last year, 45% of homes bought in Great Barrington, Ergamont, and New Marlborough were paid for with cash. If everyone locally approves the proposal, the Massachusetts governor would also have to sign off on the measure. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
On the 50th anniversary of hip-hop, people are celebrating women's role in the genre. Since its creation in 1973, artists like Da Brat, Missy Elliott, Megan Thee Stallion, and Nicki Minaj have come to embody the good and bad of hip-hop. Songs like Queen Latifah's UNITY have sought to break the chains of misogyny in hip-hop, while others have glorified it. Despite their prominent place, Janelle Hobson, a woman and gender studies professor at the University of Albany, says women have often gone overlooked in hip-hop's history, but she says their role has evolved since its creation.
There has always been this kind of marginalization of women in the culture, with give and take those particular rappers who've been able to command space and bring their voices forward. But now, if we look at the landscape of hip-hop, we have so many women rappers today that we haven't seen in a long time.
Movies and television have boosted the profile of female rappers. Film biopics have detailed the histories of girl groups like TLC and Salt-N-Pepa. Shows like Fox's In Living Color featured numerous female hip-hop artists, with Queen Latifah being one of the first musical acts on the show. Hobson is unsure whether the growth of women rappers will last, but she feels current artists are showcasing the strong power they hold in the field. Across these 50 years, Hobson says the late 90s and early 2000s were a prominent era for women in hip-hop. One such album Hobson recognizes as a cultural touchstone is The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
It came out in 1998. It won Album of the Year at the Grammys in 1999. It was the first hip-hop album to win a Grammy for Album of the Year, and it's also still the last album by a black woman to have won Album of the Year, so that tells you about its strengths.
Since its release, the album received acclaim for Hill's artistic range in hip-hop, neo-soul, and reggae. Hobson says though people should celebrate, they should be cautious about women's precarious place in hip-hop despite the barriers they've broken. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org. This story was produced with original reporting from Janelle Hobson for Ms. Magazine.
Racism and the abuse of technology, from Henrietta Lacks to Portia Woodruff. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Technology is often hailed as an engine of progress, but if unleashed without democratic oversight, it can cause great harm. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is the latest example. Over 250 computer scientists warned in a one-sentence statement issued by the Center for AI Safety, quote, "Mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other societal scale risks such as pandemics and nuclear war," unquote. They worry that artificial intelligence will outpace human intelligence, then orchestrate our demise as a species. But for many, the abuses of technology are not some future threat. Take the cases of Henrietta Lacks, who died of cervical cancer in 1951, and a more recent example in 2023 of another black woman, Portia Woodruff, a young Detroit mother wrongly arrested for armed robbery and carjacking after being misidentified by AI-driven facial recognition software.
The 6 police officers came to knock on the door.
Portia Woodruff said on the Democracy Now! NewsHour, recounting her arrest with
a warrant for my arrest for carjacking. In the midst of the conversation, you know, I opened up my door a little bit wider so she could see, so that they could see, you know, I was 8 months pregnant. And I also pointed to my cars that were in the driveway at the time. You know, I'm like, I'm 8 months pregnant and, you know, I have a car right there. Why would I carjack anyone? So I went back and forth, you know, with the police officers for a while, trying to convince them that, you know, you have the wrong person.
Portia Woodruff was handcuffed in front of her 2 young, terrified daughters and jailed. The actual perpetrator's face had been recorded by a camera, and facial recognition software pointed to Portia. She was the first woman known to have been arrested due to faulty facial recognition software. At least 5 men have been similarly wrongly arrested. All 6 are black. Portia was held for 11 hours, released on a $100,000 bond. She began having contractions in the jail cell. She immediately rushed to the hospital after getting out, where she was treated for dehydration.
In 2019, the government shared a study showing that African-American faces and Asian faces were 10 to 100 times more likely to be misidentified.
That's Joy Bolamwini, founder of the Algorithmic Justice League, speaking on Democracy Now!
In many instances, the worst performance is on the faces of black women. And so when you look at the data and what we've recorded on the performance of facial recognition technologies, it does mean people of color, women of color, black women in particular, are at even higher risk of these types of misidentifications.
Portia Woodruff is 32 years old. Henrietta Lacks was a 31-year-old mother of 5 who went to Johns Hopkins, the only hospital in Baltimore that would see black patients in the early 1950s.
She ended up going under anesthetic to get this biopsy of her cervix.
Rebecca Skloot said on Democracy Now!, Skloot is the author of the best-selling biography, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, also made into a film starring Oprah Winfrey.
And that's when the doctor just took a little extra piece and put that in a dish and sent it to George Guy, who was, you know, the head of tissue culture research and had been trying to grow cells for decades. So they'd been able to keep cells alive for maybe 24 hours in the past, but hers just, not only did they not die, but they began doubling their numbers every 24 hours. So they just grew with this incredible intensity that no one had ever seen before.
Henrietta Lacks died of cancer not long after, but her cells lived on, becoming a cornerstone of biomedical research. The cells taken from Henrietta Lacks without her permission have helped cure or treat countless diseases, from polio to HIV to HPV, helped develop vaccines and other medicines, and to map the human genome. Doctors from Johns Hopkins continued to deceive her family members, subjecting them to studies in an attempt to learn why her cells were able to survive. Johns Hopkins called Henrietta Lacks' cells HeLa cells, claiming they came from a fictitious person, Helen Lane. Many companies profited from her cells. On August 1st, her family settled with one company, Thermo Fisher Scientific. One of her grandsons, Alfred Lacks Carter Jr., announced,
"Our family member, our loved one, Henrietta Lacks, 103 years old today. And as Ben said, today, it couldn't have been a more fitting day for her to have justice.
Yeah.
For her family to have relief. It was a long fight. It was a long fight, over 70 years. And Henrietta Lacks gets her day."
Hopefully, Portia Woodruff will get her day, too. She's suing Detroit for wrongful arrest and imprisonment, malicious prosecution, and for its use of the demonstrably racist AI-driven facial recognition software. She could well be the impetus for passage of the Facial Recognition and Biometric Technology Moratorium Act, now before Congress. From Henrietta Lacks to Portia Woodruff, it's past time we recognize and reject racist abuses of technology. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC weather forecast. And the National Weather Service in Albany says a surface high pressure system has slid into the region for good weather for a while, but a widespread soaking rain is expected Monday night into Tuesday. Sunny skies are predicted on Sunday with a high near 80 and a west wind 6 to 10 miles per hour spinning local windmills with a low around 59 on Sunday night. Then Monday should be partly sunny with a high near 80 and a west wind around 7 miles per hour for those windmills. Monday night, though, there's an 80% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 a.m. with a low around 63. Showers and possibly a thunderstorm are also possible on Tuesday. There's an 80% chance with a high of 75 and a quarter to a half an inch of rain possible. And then Tuesday night, the rain ends early, and then there should be a low around 60. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
And we're tuning in the sounds of the flora and fauna at Wave Farm. We're listening in to Wave Farm through Zach Poff's pond station with hydrophones or microphones in the bottom of the Wave Farm pond. We've got the test site for Acoustic Commons that we're listening to. That's an open mic in the woods at Wave Farm. Plus, we're mixing in Quintron's Weather Warlock, which takes changes in precipitation, sunlight, wind, and temperature and turns them into sound. And Quintron's Traffic Sacks, pointed at Route 23 in Acre and listening in on the traffic sounds. This week, Wave Farm has been busy with all sorts of animal life. Last Wednesday, we saw a very large bear that just crossed Route 23 to our side of the tracks and headed into the growth and forest next to our driveway. We never saw him or her again. But the day before, we did see a fox. Got within 20 or 30 feet of it before it bounced away. There are also lots and lots of mushrooms on the Wave Farm property, especially in the last week with all of the downpours. Heavy rain and wet ground. We did have some folks pick some chanterelles and share them with gathered folks who all said they were delicious. And the human intervention this week at Wave Farm has been Well, really all summer, Max Goldfarb has been taking apart his M49 truck. It used to be the Stockport Fire Department radio truck, and it's been Max's M49 art project for the past 10 or 15 years. And now he's taking it apart and putting it back together in a different form. So the new building he has made is now all clad in the front with the truck. I believe the roof came off the truck today, and I think most of the wood has been taken out. So it's getting very skeletal, the M49 radio truck. Now getting a new life, turning itself into a new building at Wave Farm. Small shack. About the same place the M49 truck was, if you have been to Wave Farm. Lots of monarch butterflies tasting the Wave Farm milkweed this week, too. This has been WGXC's Flora and Fauna Report. Listening in on the animals and plant life at Wave Farm in the center of Greene County.
So start out by telling me what you have planned for this Sunday.
Well, I think when the fascists come marching through your community, you have to answer that. You can't, because silence is complicity, really. So the rally is really about saying this isn't okay in our town. This is not acceptable here. This groups who foster hate and oppression and are anti-democratic, that's just not welcome here. And so the rally is really going to focus on what we can do as citizens to fight fascism, because that's really what this is, right? It gives people a chance to express their outrage and their horror. That needs to happen. But to do some educating on what we can do to fight fascism. So we'll have some concrete, actionable next steps on what to do and places you can go to get information.
This is in response to the surprise pop-up Proud Boys rally that happened last weekend. In downtown Saratoga.
Yes, exactly. And we actually did something like this. It's more years ago now than I wanted to believe, but the KKK came through Saratoga a few years back, and they came through twice. And the first time was like sometime in the spring, early summer, and then the second time they were here in February, handing out flyers downtown and handing out flyers to people of color. On top of it. So a group of us, some of us got together and planned a rally, and we actually had it on Valentine's Day night. We pulled it together in 2.5 days, and over 125 people showed up. And some people canceled their Valentine's dinner plans because they said, this is more important. And 125 people came out and said, this is not okay here. This is not welcome here.
What do you make of that rally, and why do you think do you have any thoughts about why they chose downtown Saratoga at that time?
My guess is it's track season, and you get a lot, you know, you get a pretty good bang for your buck when you march downtown Saratoga Springs for that. And we tend to be, while Saratoga County is more red, Saratoga Springs is pretty blue, pretty progressive and democratic. So I think that might have been part of it. But you get a lot of attention in August in Saratoga when you're marching down the street.
It can be a little slippery to understand what the Proud Boys really are and what it is that they're advocating for. And what would you say to somebody that sort of saw this and like a Black Lives Matter march as sort of just two sides of a coin or something like that?
You know what's interesting is if you understand that the fascist Nazi Germany based their anti-Semitic laws on the Jim Crow laws of the South. Did you know that? That's what they modeled their anti-Semitic laws on, is what we had here in the United States. Then you begin to understand that Black Lives Matter are people who are trying to live their best life without interference, and Proud Boys are these white nationalists that are afraid of losing power. You know, they're afraid of becoming the minority, and so then the question becomes, then the observation or the question is there a problem with being a minority in the United States? Do we treat them differently or less than? And I think that there's a real fear for them with that, and I think as we've watched 40 years of the Reaganomics decimate the middle class and have an income gap that's wider and wider, these folks, I get some of what they're afraid of, but they're going after the wrong people. It's not the immigrant that's taking your job. I mean, I have yet to hear some white nationalists say, you know, I was a fruit picker until some immigrant came and took my job. I mean, the immigrants are doing the jobs that people don't want. What's happened is, in the name of profit, our jobs have been shipped overseas to someplace cheaper. Corporate greed. And we are just now, under some of the new economic policies, getting some manufacturing jobs back. There were like 60,000 factories that closed in this country, and all those. A really good example was the Carrier. Remember Carrier? They are an air conditioning and heating company. They make those kind of components, and they were shipping their jobs to Mexico. Trump, when he came in, was running and first came, oh, I'm going to save this. Well, so he threw some money at them, but those jobs went to Mexico. So mm-hmm. I get, so they're looking at not being able to advance or not having a standard of living that their parents had. They can have nothing to pass on to their kids. You know, people are working. When I was growing up, I'm 67, so I've got a slice of history. When I was growing up, families could live on one income. They could buy a house, they could go on vacation, and they could send their kids to college. All that has changed, and I think these folks are seeing the American dream slip away from them, and they're terrified, so they take the easiest route out.
I guess the next question is, what do you have as a group or as an organization or in general to sort of combat this and come up with a different answer than xenophobia and, as you said, fascism?
Well, this and this is what's really hard, because we do have, I believe we do have the power to stop it. But it's really difficult. It's hard to do. But so some of what we do is expose the lies. Expose the lies of, you know, I had a good job as a fruit picker until somebody came along, this immigrant came along and took my job. You know what I'm saying? So you begin to expose some of those lies. You begin to offer an alternative look at what's happening with the economy. And some of it is naming history. Some of it is being able to look back and say, hey, I remember when, and be able to show people that things were in fact different, and that we can begin to change things for the better for everyone. Because when we all do better, we all do better. But, you know, up until 1973 or 74, healthcare in the United States had to be not for profit, couldn't be a profitable business. Nixon changed that. Look what we have in healthcare now. It's a friggin' disaster. We have these insurance companies where the CEOs are making millions. Meanwhile, grandma can't get her friggin' blood pressure meds because they're too expensive. You know, there have been people who have been hit by cars and said, don't call an ambulance, I can't afford it. I think people, getting people to let go of the tribalism of your political party, people will switch religions faster then they'll switch a political party.
Tell us exactly when and where this event is on Sunday.
On Sunday, it is at 2 o'clock on the corner of, we call it, the unofficial name is Democracy Corner. It's on the corner of a church and Broadway. It's at the post office in downtown Saratoga Springs. So we're going to rally people together, let people talk about how, because people need to be heard about how this affects them. I mean, the Jews in this town are really frightened. I can tell you what some of them are. They look at this and think, holy crap, my relatives left Nazi Germany to escape, left Europe to escape this. So for them, it's very frightening. People of color, this is really frightening stuff. So people give people an opportunity to express their fear and their outrage, and then talk to people about ways. We're not helpless here. There's a